Peter, good to talk to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Owen, and to your listeners.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty here, Peter, and some of the main points and talking points from the budget, the first point that I will put to you is the announcement and the comment from the state's fiscal watchdog yesterday, warning that the budget will keep inflation higher for longer and that the government spending and tax plans are, in quotes, a serious cause for concern. When you hear that, Peter, what do you think? Has a mistake been made?
No, well, I think, first of all, you have to respect the Fiscal Advisory Council. They were set up for a very good reason, to be a watchdog on public spending. But I think in this case, when you have inflation running so high, you have to really employ a political reality to help families through that. And essentially, this is what we are doing. We are only breaching our own self-imposed spending rules of 5%, and not by very much. We're just going to about 6.1%. And I believe that you have to do that because families are struggling with the weekly shop. You have so many pensioners that are feeling the, you know, huge additional cost of fuel and trying to heat their home. So you really have to support people through this very difficult time.
But what you're saying is that the Fiscal Council is not wrong. So what's happened here is that inflation will be kept higher for longer and the spending and tax plans are a cause for concern. You're not saying they're wrong there.
I'm saying that they're an important voice, an independent voice to a government.
Right.
But our projections bring inflation back down to around 2.5% next year. So we believe over the next 12 months you're going to see inflation continuing to drop as it has month on month throughout this year. And that will put us in a better space next year. And that's why, which is critical to this budget, the one-off revenue streams from our corporation tax are being invested for our future. So we'll have them in saving schemes to invest into capital projects, which will give the biggest reward back into our economy.
Okay, let's start off then and looking at some of the details within this and starting off with tax cuts, a tax package worth 1.3 billion euro. It's about 800 euro to each individual worker has been announced. So what is that going to mean in terms of money going back into people's pockets?
So I think it's important in the first instance to ensure that we can allocate resources as fairly as possible. So for the increase in the standard rate cut-off point, that's the point in which you pay the higher rate of tax of 40,000 euro. That's going up to 42,000. And essentially, that'll benefit about 1.1 million workers right across the economy. Then obviously, in relation to the increase for indexing our tax credits, which essentially increases them to protect people from inflation and bracket creep, that will benefit every single worker right across the economy, as well as the USC changes. Again, we're increasing the minimum wage to account for inflation, which is going up by €1.40. That's on advice as well from the Joint Labour Committee. So all that work will assist people and reward work. And as well, the Social Welfare Code is targeted to rewarding work. So you have one-off payments, which will be increased for the working family payment. I think that's important in our economy.
Okay, welfare recipients and pensioners, there'll be an across-the-board permanent increase to weekly welfare and pensions payments of €12. Some people would say that doesn't really go far enough for those who might be on the margins and struggling. €12.
Well, I think it's the second year that we have €12, but critically across this year and next year, when you add that with a number of lump sum payments that are going to be allocated, as well as the energy credits, a 3x150 euro energy credits into 2024. I think looked at together in the round, I think it is a pretty strong package to really help people who are very vulnerable, as well as the increase in the fuel allowance, which is very important to support families and our elderly, because we're very acutely aware that they have made the resources in the economy that we're all benefiting from now. So we really have to stand by our pensioners and ensure that we support them as best we can in the times ahead.
Going back to what the Fiscal Advisory Council has said, and if we look at energy credits, Minister Pascal Donoghue announced three energy credits for households of €150 each to be paid between the end of this year and April next year. Why did everybody get an energy credit? Why was that universal and not targeted? Because I'm sure that's one thing that the Fiscal Advisory Council would say was a little bit, careless from the government to just hand out money and energy credits to everybody.
Well, we would be of the view, first of all, is that everyone feels the effects of inflation. Middle-income earners feel it just as much as people on the social welfare code.
Yeah. About what about the higher earners? So if you're a millionaire or a billionaire in this country, you're getting a 150 euro energy credit. That doesn't matter to those, does it?
Well, if you were to bring a system in on to actually adjudicate on who is over 100,000 income or 150,000 income or whatever metric you bring in, my estimation would be it would actually cost more to implement police and adjudicate on than it would in terms of the reward and the saving that will come from it. So government has to make these judgments, and I think that's...
Okay, so you have to make that judgment. So if you have somebody who is struggling on the margins, can't make ends meet at the moment in a house, they're getting the exact same energy credit as somebody who's a millionaire or a billionaire.
Well, they're not, because they're getting a huge increase in the last 2 years in terms of the fuel allowance, which went up by
60%. I'm talking about the energy credits.
No, as well, but you have to look at it around. I will make absolutely no apologies for giving everyone in the economy a 200 euro energy rebate. And as I said to you, if you want to put in a system like you have detailed there, it would actually cost more to implement and police, and that would be counterproductive in our economy. My view is quite clear. The benefit has to go to people who are working in our economy as well. They feel the effects of inflation, and I wouldn't make any apologies for doing that.
Okay, what about trying to bring inflation down then? And again, the Fiscal Advisory Council saying that what you've done is actually going to drive inflation up. What measures have you taken, in your view and the government's view, do you think will bring the measures down and inflation down?
Well, I think you have to look at the root causes of inflation. So there are two primary drivers of inflation in our economy. The first is obviously our energy crisis, and investing in our future in terms of how we diversify, how we make our country more self-sustainable, like investing in offshore wind. We have a new planning and consent regime that's going to deliver huge capacity there. The interconnector now being worked on, the Celtic interconnector, which have capacity of 450,000 homes. That's the first primary driver of inflation. The second primary driver is housing. So we have a huge budget to increase supply of housing right across our economy. We're going to be building the largest scale amount of social houses next year, and hopefully we'll go well over 30,000 houses right across the economy. So it's like a doctor trying to treat a patient. What we're doing now is administering the painkillers to try and ease the symptoms through our one-off costs, trying to give one-off payments into the economy. But we have to also cure the disease. And I think when you look at the more fundamental aspects of our economy, trying to change how we supply energy into our economy, and also trying to change and increase the amount of housing and the different types of housing, like cost rental and affordable housing, that's how you cure the disease and help inflation into the future.
Right. On housing, here's what Sinn Féin TD Piers Doherty said in the Dáil yesterday regarding housing and this budget.
One issue facing workers and families is the housing crisis. It permeates every facet of Irish life. Young people left without hope, children growing up in emergency accommodation, businesses who can't get workers, schools who can't get teachers, guards, nurses, members of our defence forces leaving their profession because they can't find somewhere to live. And this should have been a budget to resolve the housing crisis. But today, Minister McGrath and Minister Donoghue have failed in that regard. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have caused the housing crisis, and today's budget is further confirmation that they are not the ones to fix it. We needed a budget for renters. Instead, we got a budget for landlords. A Sinn Féin government would have introduced a budget that would have got to grips with the housing crisis and built the homes that our people so desperately need. Access to healthcare, Iascaigh and Comhairle, is one of the most fundamental needs of any citizen. Knowing that your child will be able to receive critical surgeries or mental health services when and if they need it. Having confidence that a loved one will be treated with dignity. But that's not the Ireland that we live in today. Instead, we have an Ireland where young and old are waiting hours upon hours to be admitted to our hospitals in emergency departments. An Ireland where many of them are consigned to trolleys on the hospital corridor. An Ireland where our children are forced to wait years for critical spinal surgery with devastating consequences. An Ireland where a child was forced to wait for 5 years, in which time her spine contorted by more than 90 degrees, leaving her in pain and sometimes unable to breathe.
Right, that's Sinn Féin TD Piers Doherty talking about housing and healthcare, and I'll come to healthcare in a moment. But Peter Burke, going back to you, housing, what has this budget done to address what we have, a housing crisis around this country as we know? What has this budget specifically done to address housing?
Well, first of all, it's quite striking in that clip that I've heard almost someone describe all the problems in our economy but not offer one single solution in that clip there. And he produced an uncosted budget, which we've bored more holes in over the last few days.
Right.
But in relation to what the government is doing, which I'm more interested in, we have, in the first instance, protected renters. We've increased the tax credit available to renters. And renters now face a huge strengthening of rental law in terms of tenancies of indefinite duration, also having stronger notice periods, and the new form of tenancy like cost rental that we're bringing in.
Right.
We'll be building more homes in our economy next year. Hopefully it will tilt over 9,000 build homes, so that's constructed by the state for social housing, and bring the book of social housing well over 11,000 for the year in 2024, as well as the 2.6 billion euro exchequer funding and 2.5 billion through the LDA and the Housing Finance Agency.
But there was nothing new in this budget. There was nothing new in this budget for housing.
Because when I say there's nothing new, the new thing is that we're building more and more houses every single year. And that's what we need to do. We need to get our capacity up well beyond.
So essentially you're saying, from the government's point of view, you're happy enough. Things are going well at the moment.
No.
We don't need to put more money into it.
We are putting more money into it.
You didn't in this budget.
More money.
You didn't in this budget.
We're putting 2.6 billion euro. We are putting 2.6 billion.
The same as last year.
Direct. Because it's multi-annual funding. If you just let me speak for a moment there, Owen. So housing, what we're trying to do is increase our capacity. Everyone knows right across the economy, labour costs are very challenging for builders. No, material costs are gone up. Capacity is very hard to get people. We've gone from a standing start right over to 30,000 houses per annum. And that's growing every single year. Those are the evidence. If people look around, they're listening to this show in their communities, in Kildare, you can see sites are actively being working on the ground. Commencements are up. And that's the evidence that the strategy that we're embarking on is working.
What about record homelessness?
Obviously, homelessness is a huge challenge, and the problem is in our economy, we've seen almost 1,000% increase on people coming into our economy through the Ukrainian initiative, which we're responding to. Communities are doing huge work, and as well as people coming in seeking asylum here, and that's putting huge pressure on the state as well. So we're responding as strong as we can, but there are challenges there. I don't think any government minister is going to say they're not cognizant and understanding and realizing the fact that there are so many people that face horrific circumstances being homeless and families, but we're trying our best to solve that problem, and the evidence is there. We're increasing housing supply every single year, going over 30,000 in our state, and that will be, provide a solution.
Okay. The opposition would say that you're missing your targets, though.
We're not missing our targets, absolutely not. We our target in housing for all for the current year was 28,500. We're going to hit 30 this year, so that's over our target.
And the target for next year is?
Target for next year is to go over 32,000 homes, and we expect to exceed that as well and keep ramping up every single year. And that's going to be so important to ensure that we have all types of homes come into our state, because it's key that we need also our cost rental supply. We need our affordable housing. We need our help to buy scheme. Over 40,000 families in the state have benefited from that. And we also need our first home scheme to try and bridge the affordability gap that so many families face. So we need to keep those different types of tenures coming into our economy as well.
Okay, a message has just come in from a listener in relation to the budget.
Can I say, as can I make a point for in relation to the budget? As an educator, I think free books for every school child is absolutely absurd. So, are they trying to say that people in, shall we say, debt schools and schools that are struggling and families who are struggling, that people in private schools who can, and fair dues to them, delighted for them, who can pay very high fees for schools and are on very high incomes, they're allowed the same privileges. They're allowed free books for their kids as well. It's becoming a nanny state.
Okay, what would you say to that, Peter? That's the same point that I made in relation to the energy credit, that it's just universal. Everybody gets something.
Well, I think investing in education has been so, so important right across our economy. We have brought in primary school books in our state schools, which are free, obviously, this year. I think that was a huge help and assistance. And to bring it up to junior cert level, I would absolutely make no apologies for that, because you're investing in young people, investing in our education. And like in our deaf schools, we have bespoke solutions in terms of bringing in to help them during the day, to ensure every primary school student has a hot meal that are in areas of deprivation.
Right. The argument is, though, Peter, and it's very, very clear what that listener was saying and the point that I made earlier on, is that the government are not being targeted enough and not targeting those who are struggling the most during the cost of living crisis. That if you give out universal energy credits, if you give out universal free school books, everybody is getting a bit of it, and you're not targeting those who are on the breadline.
Well, my response back to that is targeted measures. Fuel allowance is a targeted measure. As I said to you in relation to the energy credit, I think everyone feels the cost of inflation, and speed trumps perfection. You don't want a situation whereby you're going to spend more money engaging in a process trying to find out who earned what and when. That is absurd in my book. And secondly, then, as you go through in terms of the education system, again, targeted are desk schools, free meals, hot meals for children, and that has increased every single year over the lifetime of this government. Again, targeted measures. So there's a whole suite of targeted measures in the budget. If you look at from your work and family payment, care, disability, invalidity pension, living alone allowance, those are all targeted increases for people as well. So I think we're getting the balance right in doing both.
Right. Health, then, and waiting lists around the country are just ridiculous at this stage. An additional €800 million in core funding is being provided to the health service to meet the needs of an ageing population, we're told. The amount of money available for new measures as opposed to providing the existing level of services is just €100 million, down from €250 million in the last budget. What's the story with health, Peter?
Well, health has been a huge challenge, and I think we're going to see a very, very significant supplementary estimate this year, which unfortunately has been the case over the last number of years. We've seen a trajectory, obviously, post-COVID, that presentations in our EDs is going through the roof in terms of people with delayed healthcare, unfortunately, at that period of time. We're also seeing our demographical changes, that in our country, people are living longer now than ever before. Over the last 50 years have increased on average 10 years on our lifespan. That's providing significant pressure to our health service, and we have to invest more in it. But it is a challenge, and I absolutely, as you mentioned there at the very start and through the clips, we've heard all day, very, very difficult cases for families, and we're working very hard to try and resolve that, and we have to invest more in our healthcare, and we will be doing that because you will see a supplementary estimate, and obviously it's going to be a challenge. This is a record budget for the Department of Health. It will be a challenge to keep it at that budget for the year ahead.
Okay, and just finally then, how do you think the year ahead is going to look? Do you think that this budget is going to do enough to help people who are struggling in the cost of living crisis and struggling with inflation?
I think it's the best effort. I think government has to be very honest. We can't take away all the blow of inflation on families. But what we can do is we can cushion it as best as we can. And that's the way this budget is crafted. It's crafted to ensure that we don't overheat the economy, that we have targeted measures and universal measures, that all families get a little bit back, a little bit of their own money back, and that we keep improving in the future and investing in the future. That's very important to ensure that that will give us the biggest reward, because we've had a decade in this country, we didn't put enough money into our infrastructure. Now we're trying to rectify that wrong.
Right. Before I let you go, I just want to put the point to you, because you are Minister of State with responsibility for EU affairs and defence. What's happening in Israel and Palestine? What do you make of that, Peter?
Yeah, that's a huge concern. I think Ireland has been very strong to ensure that all the primary aid that goes in through the EU into Palestine continues. We as a country give around €18 million per annum, and that is, you know, brought through our NGOs, and the UN is the competent authority to do that. So that's our primary concern, is the humanitarian issue. We have to keep supporting very vulnerable people in a very difficult environment. And also, which we're very clear, and we need de-escalation. We've appealed to Israel. While we accept that every state has the right to defend itself, we have to be very clear that has to be done in line with international law. You can't just, and you have to be aware of, when you are in a region whereby it's 42 kilometres long, 12 kilometres at its widest point, 2 million people, one of the most densely populated regions of the world, that is a huge responsibility for those who are perpetrating those attacks as well.
That's Minister of State with responsibility for EU affairs and defence, Fine Gael TD for Longford Westmeath, Peter Burke, assessing the government's budget 2024. Thanks for your time, Peter, and good morning.